Hello everyone and welcome to this new episode of my podcast. My name is Zeina Jaber and in this podcast I will address the representation of women's trauma on television with an emphasis on the Netflix original series Queen's Gambit. Netflix series offer a variety of content with a wide range of characters coming from different backgrounds and with upcoming exciting journeys. Some characters on television are inspired by real people that encounter real life problems that we undergo in our daily life, while others are simply fabricated and embedded in an imaginary world. However, the issue with television narratives is that they could confuse reality with exaggeration. Writers sometimes include social or personal issues that occurred in reality, such as mental illness, and incorporate it into the main character's background, past, or upcoming hurdles. This narrative often generates stereotypes or stigmas about traumatizing events or mental illness because writers have a general idea about what an illness might do to a person, but they can't delve into deeper consequences because they did not live it. Therefore, representing such characters might mislead the audience, which makes them engage in inappropriate behavior as a result of what they watch on TV or streaming services such as Netflix. This issue on television is constantly repeated from serial to serial as a result of the increasing number of viewers who are alert to such storylines even if it might damage them in the process. An example of such motive is on Netflix, where we find in different shows that the female leading character is deeply traumatized and sad, and the way she handles her situation is harmful. This sad character is duped into thinking that everything is all right by having a significant other. Therefore, her storyline revolves around the man instead of finding the right way to heal, or the narrative revolves around this female character who engages in impulsive behaviors and is romanticized by unhealthy coping mechanism. One might say that the depiction of such women in different serials is a result of lazy writing, whereby narratives have become quite predictable. Therefore, we should ask ourselves why this motive has been so successful despite being repeated in different Netflix shows. The writing of these shows complements the commercial objective of Netflix, which is keeping the audience entertained and attached to the show. Because storylines get predictable over time, viewers become most concerned with the characters and their interrelationships throughout a serial. Thus, viewers and especially women get attached to the representation of such an alluring character who is bombarded by several storylines, such as her past, mental state, and the relationship she builds throughout the seasons. Yes, a sad, traumatized female has become a recurrent motive from show to show, but the minor storylines that surround her are being altered, and that is the reason behind the success of such Netflix TV series. The leading character has so much gone on that any viewer can relate to the various storylines that she goes through and might find comfort in watching the show or sympathizing with the character. In addition, Netflix showrunners create their upcoming shows as a result of the ratings given by the viewers or even the engagement on social media. Once they see that a show is successful, they can see that what made the audience attached to such content and therefore what to focus on in their forthcoming programs to keep the ratings high. Producers notice that a large amount of the audience is relating to the sad trope girl in the serials, which encourages them to keep on doing similar content but with minor changes to the storylines surrounding the main female character so that the audience feel excited about other events. Once writers have established the main female leading role, which is the hardest part, they just have to add a few things to her storyline so that it becomes different from other shows. This trope is also the product of the male gaze. To get into a deeper analysis in the next section of the podcast, I am going to give an example of the television miniseries on Netflix, Queen's Gambit, that supports all the claims made earlier. The show, based on a book, follows the story of Beth Harmon, a young woman who attempts to enter the male-dominated field of competitive chess. Beth Harmon starts her chess journey at an orphanage, and she also begins there her struggle with addiction because she was taking heavy-dose pills designated as vitamins. Harmon manages to convince herself that these pills help her visualize chess moves better. Therefore, Beth spends a decade of her life battling her addiction, her expecting of herself when playing chess, and the rejection of her parents once she gets adopted. As she grows older and competes at higher levels, Harmon accepts nothing but perfection, and because of this pressure, just after quitting the pills, she replaces her previous addiction with alcohol to cope. As the show progressed, Harmon's mental health continues to decline, but her beauty is even more highlighted as her style becomes sexualized, as well as her hair and makeup, who remain perfect. The issue comes from the lack of females in the production team. The dominance of male staff, such as writers and creators Scott Frank and Alan Scott, has made their male perspective the superior one. Frank and Scott's emphasis on the male gaze not only enforces and imposes an unreasonable standard upon young women, but it also, unfortunately, overlooks the inspiring story of a feminist like Beth Harmon. The problem becomes more obvious because of the shots that are composed above Harmon's chest or are low-angle shots looking up towards her skirt. It is also worth noting the definition of the male and female gaze, as we will be exploring them in the production of Queen's Gambit. The female gaze can be used to look at narratives from a perspective that sees women as subjects having agency instead of objects. In TV or film studies, the female gaze is a term representing the gaze of the female viewer, character, or director. Therefore, we understand the narrative from a female's perspective, which could be a positive viewpoint, specifically when the show has a girl as a protagonist. We can immediately identify the gender behind the showrunners and the way the women are depicted on the screen, depending on if it satisfies the male gaze by empowering men and objectifying women. Because in the male gaze, a woman is visually positioned as an object to satisfy the male. Shows like these affect the viewers immensely. Millions of young female viewers, after watching The Queen's Gambit, might conclude that even when their mental health is declining, they must remain pretty and perfect, or that alcohol is the solution to deal with their problems, and that having mental breakdowns are unacceptable or even ugly because they do not resemble those of Harmon. The scene of Harmon's mental breakdown is written and directed by males to satisfy the male gaze, because instead of observing on our screens the consequences of a mental breakdown or how a person feels when they are alone and depressed, we still observe a young woman with perfect hair and makeup, dancing in her underwear and holding a bottle of wine. Queen's Gambit could have been different if it was influenced by the female gaze, because with women writers or directors, the story could have been told by a woman and for a woman, accurately depicting a true battle with addiction, mental health, and gender conventions. Regardless of this representation on Netflix, Queen's Gambit has received a lot of positive feedback and has become critically acclaimed as a result of its cinematography, acting, and storyline. Its originality is what allured the huge number of viewers, and because it is a miniseries that you can binge-watch in a day. Some people won't even notice or realize the issue of the depiction of specific women, because it is not something new. We see this from program to program, and it becomes wrongly the norm. And what is worse is that the women are harming themselves in the process without knowing it, because they aim to be like these girls on Netflix that don't use the right ways to heal. So everyone, we have come to the end of this podcast, and I want to say a huge thank you for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed this podcast and got a deeper learning of this issue on TV.